we're going to be receiving an offering for our church intern. You have gold offering envelopes in the front of the pew. Please give generously. This money will help him with his college education. He is a student at Pensacola Christian College and desires to serve the Lord. He has served here very, very faithfully all summer long. Spencer has. And Spencer, you've been a tremendous compliment. You can come onto the platform now. You've been a tremendous compliment to our church staff. It is interesting that he really didn't know any of us when he came. We had vetted, of course, our intern because we asked them questions and things, but we didn't know how well he'd fit. You know how you introduce someone else new onto the staff, even just for a period of a few months, you want them to fit. And I will say this, that Spencer fits hand in glove with these guys. You were able to put up with a lot this summer, Spencer, and this maybe isn't the easiest bunch of guys to work with, but in all reality, he fit hand in glove, and I love the fact that I can kid with him, and he pushes back, okay? If you don't push back with me, you will get run over, okay? So amen. A little pushback is not a bad thing sometimes, but Spencer has done a stellar job, and as he's been with us, we've watched as his talent and his ability continues to open and continues to unfold, and he has got a wonderful future ahead. We want to help him as a church moving forward with his education, and when you contribute, if you'd like credit for it, put your number on the envelope, your giving number on the envelope, or fill out name and address and things. We can give you credit for that for later on for your taxes. But really, really, in all seriousness, what a blessing this young man has been. So I'm happy to introduce him. I've already heard him speak in some Sunday school classroom settings and other settings. I'm really excited about one of God's young choice servants, Spencer Canterbury. You come preach for us, Spence.
Thank you, preacher. Well, I knew this day was going to come, obviously, but I didn't realize it was going to come this fast. It is beyond incredible how fast the summer went. I'm not going to lie, when Pastor Wall first contacted me and said it was a 10-week program, I was like, oh, that might take a little while. Boy, was I wrong. So, from my heart to your all's, thank you, Faith Baptist Church of Avon, for a tremendous, tremendous summer. I would not have traded this summer for the world. I have learned a great deal, got wonderful experiences, and acquired another church family. And yes, to the answer to everyone's question, I will make it my absolute priority to visit you all as much as I can. I definitely want to come back. Preacher already offered me a possibility of being next year's intern. We'll see what comes out of that. So who knows? And another thing is, I am actually addressing two churches tonight, obviously, you all, but my home church back in Ferndale, Maryland, decided to have their Sunday evening service be watching our live stream. So if you don't mind, for a second, I'm going to say hi to my church. Hi, church. So thank you, Fellowship Baptist Church, for tuning in. It is wonderful to have you all in. Thank you for all the cards that you've been sending me, all the notes letting me know that you are praying for me. And that is always a blessing. I miss you all. I look forward to seeing everyone during the holiday season, and know that I am praying for you as well. It is always a blessing to know that your church family is praying for you. So tonight, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 3 is where we will be this evening. Proverbs chapter number 3. We are going to be reading the first 7 verses. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. Read with me. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Tonight I want to speak on the topic entitled The Instruction Manual. The Instruction Manual. I did the Abeka homeschooling curriculum for my last year of middle school and all 4 years of high school. And one of my teachers that I had as a history teacher and as a Bible teacher several times, he was a repeat teacher, used to be the pastor of the campus church down at Pensacola Christian College. His name was Pastor Dennis McBride. And Pastor McBride was easily my favorite teacher because he would have the funniest stories to go along with his lessons. I mean, he was just an absolute stitch to listen to. And probably one of, if not perhaps my favorite story, because I can so relate to this. I forget if it was Bible or history. It was probably Bible, considering the content of the story. But this was during his college days, and he had an upcoming test in the class. And it was a true or false test. Now, let me just share with you folks, true or false tests are horrible. I hate true or false. I'm sorry, but I would like more options than just true or false. Because when you're looking at a true or false question, no matter what answer you give, in the back of your mind the whole time you're thinking, okay, was there something about that question that could have made it the other way around? And you start second-guessing yourself. I hate it. I hate true or false. And so did Pastor McBride. He couldn't stand true or false. But he needed to do well on this test. And so he studied like gangbusters. I mean, he made sure he knew the information for this test. And sure enough, when that test got slapped on his desk the next day, he looked at, he started looking at the question. He's like, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I got this. This is great. And so he starts going to town. True, false, true, false, true, 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 false, false, false. He knows he did well because he could literally see the information in the textbook that he had studied. A couple days goes by. The test gets graded. He gets the test back. A couple days later, he's thinking, you know, I probably scored an A, maybe even a high B, but I'm sure I did well. He looks at his paper, big old smile on his face. Below an F. Teacher! I mean, he was floored. He, how in the world did I do this poorly? I remember the information. And the teacher came over. He's like, well, Dennis, what's the issue? He's like, what's the issue? I'm sitting here with below a 50%. How did this happen? I studied for this test. Teacher said, well, you weren't the only one to not do well. Did you read the instructions? He goes, well, of course I did. You see, according to tradition, and just plain sanity, if it's true, you mark A. If it's false, you mark B. That's just always how it works. Well, this teacher decided to switch things up a little. If it was true, you marked B. If it was false, you marked A. And so every question that he technically got right, he actually got wrong. And every question that he got wrong, he got right! But that didn't help him none because he got most of the questions right, which ended up being wrong. Because he failed to read the instructions. And I can so relate to that because you talk about something that my dad had to practically literally hammer into my head. Instructions and I, we didn't get along very well when I was growing up in school. Reading the instructions, we chuckle at a story, man. That had to have been horrible. Yeah, I'm sure his heart dropped when he saw that grade. Mine would have too. My initial thought would have been, how do I explain this one to my mom? But just as he failed to read the instructions on that test, folks, so often we fail to read the instructions that we've been given us for life. Wait, you mean we have an instruction manual for life? We sure do. It's sitting in your lap. This is the instruction manual for life. Second only to your salvation, this is the greatest gift you'll ever have. And frankly, you could put it on the same pedestal as your salvation because without God's Word, we wouldn't know about our salvation. God's Word is a tremendous, tremendous gift, and yet so often this is one of the last places we go to when we're dealing with something. Why is that? Why is it that we fail to read the instruction manual? So I see in these seven verses that we read tonight, three things. They're very simple. They're not rocket science, because the Christian life is very simple. But I think we just need a reminder, what is it that God is expecting us to do with His Word? So let's look at it, shall we? Number one, the very first thing that you need to do with God's Word is to remember it. Number one, remember it. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. All right, the first two words, my son. Why is that significant? Well, who is the penman of the Proverbs? It's King Solomon. And very many, if not probably the vast majority, of the chapters in the book of Proverbs are addressed to my son. So obviously, Solomon wrote this to one of his sons. Which son? Scripture does not tell us. Scholars tend to lean towards it may have been Rehoboam, who was his oldest son, the next in line. And honestly, that would make sense. I mean, if you would want your heir to your kingdom to have some wisdom. But we don't know that for a fact. But whatever the case, Solomon is literally, I can hear him pleading with his son. Look, son, listen to what I have to tell you. Because if anyone had the amount of experience to share some wisdom with his children, it was Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived that wasn't God. Obviously, Jesus Christ was the wisest man to ever live. But aside from Christ, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. God had given him great wisdom at his request. And so that's why we call Solomon the wisest man who ever lived. But what's the other title that we tend to give Solomon? The wisest fool who ever lived. Because even though he had all of the wisdom in the world, he failed to obey it towards the middle part of his life. But then toward the end, he realized he had been wrong, and we can hear his heart in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Proverbs, he's saying, son, listen to me. I've been there. I've done that. It's not worth it. God has given this to me. Please hear me. I'm sure you parents can relate to that. So often your children make a decision, and they think, oh yeah, I got this. And you're going, no, that's not going to work. But folks, even though Solomon was the penman, who's the author of the Bible? Obviously, that's the Lord. And while, yes, Solomon was pleading with his biological son, I can hear the Lord pleading, sons, daughters, listen to me. I am your heavenly Father. Obviously, I know what I'm talking about. I'm God. Please listen to what I have given you here. Folks, aren't you glad that if you're born again, you can sit here and say you are a child of God? What better title to have? God reached down, took my life, saved me because I asked Him to, and now I can call Him Father. What a wonderful privilege. But act like it. Listen to your Father. He is pleading with you through the Scriptures. My son, forget not my law. This is where I got my point of remember God's word. Remember it. Why do I put such an emphasis on this? And before I continue, let me preface this with, I am in no wise preaching down to you. If anyone struggles with this, it's me. Why is it that we can so easily remember something that is required at work? Something that's required at school? Something that we just really enjoy knowing. But when it comes to Scripture, can't seem to find the time. Can't seem to remember that one. Oh, we'll remember the process that's needed to complete that product. Or we'll remember how to type something into our computer. Or we'll remember to fill out that bill. Whatever's required for our job, we'll remember that, but we can't seem to remember God's Word. Children and teens, we'll remember the facts needed for history class. We'll remember the process needed for science class. We'll remember that equation for math class. We'll remember those plays for basketball and for baseball and for football. We'll remember those when it comes to Scripture. I don't remember that one. And then just general pleasure. This is probably the one we struggle with the most, if we're honest with ourselves. Oh, we'll be able to tell you everything about our favorite hobby. We could rattle off that stuff till the cows come home. We could spit out sports facts, movie, TV show facts, whatever floats your boat. We could, that stuff just rolls off our tongue. There, we don't even got to think about that. But when someone asks you, hey, what's the latest Scripture passage you memorized? It's been a while. Why do we fail to remember God's Word? Folks, this should be the priority in our memory. When we come across something in life, whether it's serious or not serious, the first thought in our mind shouldn't be, what would I do? What would I do here if I was at work? Or what would my guidance counselor tell me to do? Or what would my favorite character in my TV show would do? No. Our first thought should be, what's a Scripture passage that I know that can deal with that? That should be our first thought. A college professor, a Bible college professor, put it this way, and I loved it. Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines of the spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization, because it is a fundamental way of filling our mind with what it needs. And then he briefly quotes Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." That's where you need it. But how does it get in your mouth? Memorization. It's not hard, folks. "Oh, my memory's just not what it used to be." Okay, that's perhaps true. But I can literally guarantee you, God will give you the strength to remember His Word. "Oh, I've got too many other things to think of." I think you can fit God's Word into there. Notice that Solomon takes it a step further. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." I think we've all fallen into this trap before: memorizing a passage of Scripture for the moment. Again, if anyone's guilty of that, it's this guy. Bible major in college. Half of my assignments are memorizing Scripture. But I'll be perfectly honest with you, a lot of that Scripture I memorize because I need to spit it back out for a quiz. I'm ashamed to say it, but it's true. I think we've all been there. Maybe not so much with a school assignment, but maybe preacher or your Sunday school teacher, someone posed a Scripture memory plan. You're like, "Oh yeah, let's do it." And so you remembered it when you needed to spit it back out next time you needed to say it to someone, but now you could remember it if you tried. Or maybe there was genuinely something going on in your life right now that Scripture helped you, and that's a great step to take. But as soon as that challenge or whatever it was done, now you don't remember where it was that you looked up. Solomon said, "But let thine heart keep my commandments." I don't think you need to look into a dictionary to find the definition of the word keep. Hold on to. Don't let go. Say, "This is mine. I don't want anybody else to have this. I want this." Folks, do you treat Scripture that way? Do you say, "This book is mine. God gave it to me. I'm going to use it like He wants me to. I'm not just going to memorize it just because I need to at the spur of the moment." Was that me? Sorry. "But I'm going to keep His commandments. I'm not going to forget His law." And then in verse number 2, he says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Incentive. Incentive to want to remember to hold on to Scripture. Your life will be longer and your life will be peaceful. Folks, there's nothing wrong with incentive. Obviously, if there was, it wouldn't be in God's Word. There's nothing wrong with incentive. That God wants you to look forward to the reward that He has for you if you're obedient to Him. There's nothing wrong with incentive, but I would challenge you, don't make the reward your sole incentive. Don't be that kind of person who goes, "Oh yeah, I'll do what God's Word tells me to do. Oh yeah, I'll memorize Scripture, but what's in it for me?" Whoa, where's that attitude in Scripture? Last time I checked, our first incentive to doing anything that book has to say should be, "Because I am a child of God. God saved me. I didn't deserve it. God still loves me. God still takes care of me. I should want nothing more than to do what that book says." That should be your incentive. There's nothing wrong with the rewards that God's offering in there. But don't make that your sole incentive. Don't be the kind of Christian that the only reason you're doing anything that the Bible says is because you want what's in it for you. Do it because you stand redeemed. He gave His life for you. What do we need to be doing with God's Word? We need to be remembering it. Second of all, tonight, very simply, do it. Remember it. And do it. Verse number 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, nowhere in there did it say, do God's word. I understand that. So how did I deduce this point from those two passages? Well, the very first phrase, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Well, what's mercy? Well, the definition of mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Basically, our salvation. Because of our salvation, we are not getting what we do deserve. And really, we experience God's mercy day in and day out and day in and day out by not getting what we truly do deserve. What's Lamentation say? It's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So mercy, and then truth. What is truth? This is truth. You're holding truth. The Bible doesn't contain truth. The Bible is truth. Mercy and truth. What did the verse say? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Thus implying it can happen. Mercy and truth can forsake you. But if that does happen, folks, you got no one to blame but yourself. If suddenly things aren't the way they used to be, suddenly things are happening in your life that you never would have imagined. Truth is, you can't really comprehend it anymore. You don't really know, is what the world is saying truth or is what I'm being taught at church truth? I really don't know. I would challenge you to look, how's your obedience to God's word? Obviously, the Christian will experience trials. I'm not saying if you're going through a trial, you're not being obedient to God's word. That is not what I'm saying. But if you are being obedient to God's word, you'll be able to tell the difference between a God-given trial and when you know you've slacked off. Folks, lack of obedience to God's word is not something we just go, oh, really? I didn't know I wasn't being obedient to God's word. Really? Come on. You know when you're not doing what the Bible tells you to do. That shouldn't take you by surprise. You can memorize the entire Bible if you wanted to. And I'm not saying you should. That is a noble thing to aspire to. But if you do not actually apply the scripture that you are memorizing, if you just do the first step of remembering it, but you fail to actually do it, the Bible is doing very little for you. I am not going to go so far as to say it's doing nothing for you, because the Bible never returns void. Whether you're doing anything about it or not, the Bible will always do what it's going to do. So I'm not going to say it's not going to do anything for you. But God didn't give us the Bible just simply for our amusement, just so that we'd have a little light reading to do before we dozed off, so that we'd have something to decorate our coffee table with. No. He gave this book to us so that we would be obedient to it. And you could memorize every single word on those pages, but if you are failing to actually apply it to your life, you're doing nobody any favors. I shared this with the Sunday school class this morning that I taught, which was the auditorium class. What is it that we should expect from every single Christian? What is it that we should expect to see out of our own lives? Because the Bible tells it. That's fruit. John chapter 15 calls us the branches of the vine. Who's the vine? Well, Jesus Christ is the vine. When we get saved, we get grafted into the vine. We become his branches. But with being a branch attached to a vine, thus implies we need to be producing fruit. That's just agricultural common sense. So if a branch is not producing any fruit, what is it? Dead. Folks, are you a dead branch tonight? If you're sitting here a Christian, you've been grafted into the greatest vine there ever was, Jesus Christ. And you've been given the great opportunity to do great things for the Lord, because he will give you the power to do it. He says so in his word. But we have to do our part. We have to actually put the effort in. Jesus Christ said that some will bear 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Notice he didn't say some won't bear any at all. Why? Because that's not how it works. A true Christian, a Christian that is obeying this word, will bear fruit. If you're not bearing any fruit, if there is no evidence of your life that you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that you love the Lord, you got a problem. A big problem, may I add. Simple, folks. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 4 is interesting. It really is. Because what's Solomon say? He says, so shalt thou find favor and understanding, and good understanding, excuse me, in the sight of God. Okay, that makes sense, obviously. If you're obeying God's word, God will appreciate that. That just makes sense. But what's he go on to say? In the sight of God and man. Most people would take that as, well, sure, if we're obeying God's word, other Christians will appreciate it. Yes, that is also true. But folks, may I submit to you tonight that even the unsaved will appreciate it. Really? Mm-hmm. Seen it with my own two eyes. My grandmother. My dad's side of the family is completely unsaved, and we pray for their salvation every day. My grandmother, love her to death, but she's a hard woman. And we, like I said, we continue to pray for her salvation. To this day, she calls my family, so my dad, my mom, me, my sister, her normal family. Why is that interesting? Well, she's got two other children, my uncle and my aunt, the spouses, and all the grandchildren. All just as unsaved as she is, all doing the exact same things she does. Yeah, we're the normal ones? That doesn't add up. Sure it does. Because while either A, she's failing to identify, or B, she's just choosing not to identify, either way, she knows we're obeying this book, and she respects that. Whether she'd like to admit it or not, she respects it. Folks, I'm not saying all the unsaved are going to appreciate that you're obeying God's word. Obviously, that's not the case. And unfortunately, not even every saved person is going to appreciate when you're obeying that book, if we're perfectly honest with ourselves. But the Bible says you will be in the favor of man as well as God. And I would submit to you, that is both the saved and the unsaved. The saved will be able to pinpoint it. Yeah, they're being obedient to God's word. The unsaved may not be able to pinpoint it, but they'll at least be able to say there's something different about them. There's something about that, but I appreciate it. I really do. What should we be doing with God's word? Well, number one, remember it. Number two, do it. And then finally this evening, trust it. Trust it. These are verses we know like the back of our hand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now again, it did not say trust in the word of God. Never said that. It said trust in the Lord, and then continues. So why am I saying that these verses are telling us to trust in God's word? Well, what's John 1:1 say? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Folks, I'm not telling you to worship this book. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you to worship this book. But we call it the Word of God for a reason. Inspiration, the word that we would use for how God gave the words to the penman. He did just that. The word inspiration, literally, if you break it down to the Greek, means God breathed. God literally put into the heads of all of the penmen of this book exactly what we read today. That's right. This is God's word. So when it says trust in the Lord, it's saying trust this book. Because obviously God does not do what he did in the Bible, the audible Spencer. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't need to. Because his word's complete. Amen. This is God talking to you. Do you trust it? What word gets repeated in the first two verses? Trust in the Lord with and lean not unto thine own understanding in. You think he's trying to get a point across? If there was ever a thing that we struggle with as Christians, it's that. We really struggle with trusting the Lord in all our ways. What's all mean? Well, all means all. And that's all means. We chuckle, but it's true. All will mean all, and it will always mean that. It means everything. So why do we think that there are portions of our life that we can handle? Why do we think that there are areas of our life that God's just not going to be relevant? I can take care of it. What? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Not a portion of it. Not most of it. Not some of it. Not half of it. All of it. And lean on unto thine understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Shall. To promise, folks. If you trust what this book says, it will tell you exactly where to go. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You trust every word this book has to say, you'll know where you need to go in life. These verses are chock full of actions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Why am I emphasizing those? It's up to you, folks. Your neighbor can't make you do it. Your Sunday school teacher can't make you do it. None of your pastors can make you do it. God can make you do it. He just chooses not to. Because he wants you to desire to do it. He could have wound us all up like a bunch of robots, set us down like those little walker things you used to get for Christmas. He could have done that. We could have been walking around God's little robots, doing everything this word says, but we never would have had a true relationship with him. And that's what he desires the most. But it's all up to you. It's up to you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Why? Because then he will direct your paths. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Folks, it's not hard. It's really not. Nothing I said tonight was overly fundamental. This is all stuff you've heard before. All stuff I've heard before. But I think we need to get reminded of even the simplest of things in Scripture. Because it tends to be the simple things that we overcomplicate. So I ask you tonight, are you reading the instruction manual? Are you remembering it? Are you remembering just about everything else? And this, and if you get around to it, so be it. No. This takes precedent. This takes priority. May the first thing rolling off your tongue, coming out of your mouth, be God's word. Are you doing it? Simple obedience. For those of you who have heard my Ezekiel sermon, whether it was in Sunday school or youth group, what did I say was probably the most, probably the simplest and yet most overlooked doctrine in all of the Bible? Obedience. Hard. This book said it, do it. End of conversation. And then are you trusting it in all your ways? Not some of it, not most of it, all of it. How are you handling the instruction manual tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the tremendous gift that it is. And Lord, so often we take it for granted, and for that we ask your forgiveness. Lord, may we take this sermon to heart, me especially, Lord. I pray that we would remember your word. May that take precedent in our lives. May we do it, and may we trust it, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the tremendous blessing that they have been to me. I thank you for the wonderful summer it has been. And I pray that as we go our separate ways tonight, that everything that we say and do would honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Preacher.